Today marks the fifth day of Kwanzaa. The week-long cultural celebration by African Americans was created at the height of the Black Nationalist Movement in 1965 by a graduate student named Malana Karenga. Karenga was disturbed by social unrest and decided it was important for African Americans to have an official occasion to reaffirm their cultural heritage.
In my family, we celebrate Kwanzaa. Every night, we light a candle on the kanara. That's a candle holder with a candle for each of the seven nights of Kwanzaa.
That's the Sesame Street treatment for Kwanzaa there. Each of the holiday's 7 days focuses on a different principle, like umoja or unity. There's Imani, which is faith, Nia, purpose, and Kumba, creativity, to name a few. 50 years after its creation, Kwanzaa is still celebrated, but like any other holiday, still gets made fun of.
And the last and most important forgotten Kwanzaa principle is Annie Ijuoke. It is the practice of being struck by a smooth criminal. Annie Ijuoke, everyone.
That was NPR's Gene Demby with Heben Negatu and Tracy Clayton, hosts of the podcast Another Round, at their Kwanzaa Spectacular, hosted at the Green Space here at WNYC earlier this month, having a little bit of fun with the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Christina Greer is associate professor of political science at Fordham University in New York, where she specializes in urban politics and public opinion. She's author of the book Black Ethnics, Race, Immigration, and the Pursuit of the American Dream. She told me that while not all African Americans today may feel a real connection with Kwanzaa, the holiday, those key principles can still open up the door for much needed reflection on what it means to be Black in America today.
As someone who does not celebrate Kwanzaa, I can still appreciate the seven principles in a larger context, in the sense that if we're thinking about self-determination, purpose, fiscal and community empowerment, these are all things that not just the African-American community can really use and utilize in their daily lives, but I think a large percentage of Americans can do that as well.
There has been some criticism that I've heard, maybe not of Kwanzaa directly, but of sort of mainstream Black spiritualism, that it is missing the struggle of today, that a lot of people, especially activists, want to see language and action that is much more direct than what is in here. It's fine to say unity and self-determination. How about direct action? How about political revolution? How about getting in the street? Things that aren't quite as inclusive as some of these Kwanzaa principles and much more confrontational.
Well, I would say a few things. One, we're at a moment where it's very complicated and difficult to define the Black community, right? So what I wrote about in Black Ethnics is that we have such a wide array of not just geographic diversity, but now ethnic diversity, economic diversity. So when we say the Black community, that in and of itself can be 17 different opinions. Two, this isn't a religious holiday. It's just 7 days of reflection, if you will. So if we're thinking about Kwanzaa in that realm, these are just guiding principles that I think people today who really want more policy prescriptions, right? And they don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive. We can have protest politics as well as electoral politics, right? I mean, I think there's a need for both. I think that we do need people to march in the streets and demand things in a confrontational space. I also think that we need to go to the ballot and vote people in and out of office as we see fit. So if we're thinking about this concept of unity, well, we can have diversity and unity as well.
Right. And when a holiday comes around and people pay attention to it as an African-American holiday, there's a tendency, maybe a forgivable one, to say that it represents that community as a whole.
Right. But, you know, in some ways it's like, well, if we're thinking about this as a Black American holiday, maybe some Caribbeans or Africans will identify with it, right? Then they say, well, you know, these are sort of community principles that I subscribe to. Why not, right? Others, including many Black Americans across the country, see this as this is a made-up holiday, just like St. Patrick's Day is a made-up holiday, just like Christopher Columbus Day is a made-up holiday.
Yeah, let me stop you there, because I want to, can we address this eye-rolling criticism that Kwanzaa is a made-up holiday all the time? Can you name a holiday that's not made up?
Most holidays are made up.
Not most, not most. All holidays are made up, even if the underlying story is true to you from the Bible or wherever.
Right.
Holidays are contrivance. They're all made up.
Well, I think that's just another way to sort of, you know, belittle what some people view as a really special, important time for them. But I think it's also, you know, this is also not a holiday that every Black American partakes in. My parents taught me all of the things that Kwanzaa represents, but they never framed it as Kwanzaa. We never celebrated Kwanzaa. Did they teach me about unity? Yes. Did they teach me about creativity? Absolutely. Did they teach me about, you know, supporting and loving people who look like me and people who are from my community, small and large, domestically, internationally, you know, having sort of a pride in being Black American, having a pride in being part of a larger African diaspora? Absolutely. Was it ever couched in the language of Kwanzaa? Never.
Christina Greer, it's one thing to have conversations with your kids over candles or not about unity and purpose and faith and things like that. You can't speak for all families out there, I know that, but what do you imagine in a lot of families in 2015 or 2016 now? The conversation with kids is like, is it about purpose and unity, or is it for a lot of people about why did Laquan McDonald get shot or how do I stay safe? We've had a lot of guests on this show having conversations with their kids about how to stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully those two things don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive. I think that there are a lot of families, hopefully white families are also having conversations with their kids about this as well, right? Because that's the only way things really are going to change. On the one hand, I think a lot of Black families are trying to explain to their children about Tamir Rice and Trayvon Martin and Laquan McDonald and Sandra Bland and all these other stories that, you know, they're seeing on the internet or on their phones. They're hearing about it in school. So it's forcing a lot of parents to have, in some ways, a premature conversation that maybe they were planning on having. Every Black parent has to have that conversation with their child about public safety and the police and the power of the police. But then that doesn't necessarily mean that that doesn't go hand in hand with other principles, right, of community uplift and perseverance and determination and purpose and unity. They're not separate, but we also have to look at the reality of the situation in the mid-teens of the 21st century and realize that we're at a moment, in some ways we feel like we're in the middle of this tornado. Maybe that speaks to why certain individuals or certain families are thinking about Kwanzaa in a different way this year, just because if you have these principles that you can sort of give yourself for strength or give your children for a little bit of guidance and clarity in the midst of what is a very, very harsh reality for a specific group of people, maybe those two in conjunction help the holiday season or the cultural season or this 7-day stretch of reflection. Maybe it helps give it a little more focus and foundation. I'm not lighting candles, but I do think that there are enough people who really want to think about making themselves and their communities better that I'm willing to respect that.
If not candles and named days, principles that endure clearly. Christina Greer, Associate Professor of Political Science at Fordham University, author of Black Ethnics, Race, Immigration, and the Pursuit of the American Dream. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.